Abroad, there were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports against your new government, and in most cases, this has caused hasty demonstrations everywhere. I can now say to you that the American people today realize that these stories are untrue and without foundation. I find that there's a new, fresh vitality here in Germany under your great leader and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, of whom I'm a great admirer. The new Germany will live, for you have the best centralized government in the world today.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's currently 6:01 here in Montana, 49 beautiful degrees. It's Sunday, March 31st here on 2019. Try a different platform here tonight. I won't say what it is, but you're now tuned into On Frequency with Keith Rogers. You can join us in the chat room at onfrequencyradio.chattango.com. Kenneth is in the control room playing with his wonder dog and answering phone calls. So if you'd like to call in at 1-800-313-9443, he'll put you on the air and with your comments to help edify us or maybe perhaps ask some questions or whatever. But anyway. Tonight I'd like to remind you that there is no such thing as public opinion. Only published opinion matters. And that's going to be kind of a theme tonight, so you might remember that. But first, I wanted to talk about what I've been talking about last week here. The Midwest farmers are devastated by the uninsured flood losses. I knew this was coming. This is the same premise that was down there through the recent hurricane events through Texas and such. Where they the insurance companies actually lobbied to make it harder for people to get insurance to cover themselves. So anyway, this article is from Evansville, Indiana, dated March 29th. It says hundreds of millions of dollars in crops destroyed in the Midwestern floods this month were not insured, the farmers say, and the losses could leave many without sufficient income to continue farming. And this is on top of the massive farming foreclosures already and the 40 farmer suicides a day, which is over 22 of these veterans that are committing suicide a day. This insured grain issue is really starting to affect people, said Jeff Jorgensen, a Western Iowa corn and soy grower. Don't care about the soy there. Don't need to be a soy boy. Whose farm is flooded when the Missouri River spilled over its banks on March the 12th. And I remind people that we still have snow on the ground here in Montana, and the precipitation from this moisture and our wet snow is starting to show up now from South Dakota, North Dakota, eastern Montana, Wyoming, and a lot of that's going to be flowing into those tributaries, into the Missouri and down the Mississippi. So I have been warning about this as a catalyst to the 2011 flood, so I hope that it doesn't affect that. Meanwhile, President Trump is still trying to piss off the neighbors to the south. And I say that because most of the food in our stores around here, the produce and everything like that, is labeled product of Mexico. So with all that, it, you know, to pile up like that, it makes you wonder what would happen if Americans really needed some food. So more on this public and published opinions. We notice a lot of times, like I say, even at shootings and whatever like that, instead of the media talking to a bystander that may have witnessed something, they always go to the police official to get the official story. It's because they don't want a you know, just a public narrative on things like, well, I saw the guy do it, or whatever like that. So, anyway, we see this more and more in anything, especially in politics. And this is where the media tells you that a poll was created and managed by them same, and that, of course, their poll matters. It's trending. Just like on Twitter or something like that, something's trending, and you're supposed to follow along with the trend. So the subject matter, albeit a politician or a product, whichever they're trying to sell you at the time, is who the illusion is of being part of their system. You're supposed to be right on board with everything that's going on. So, I'll give you a little bit of a walk down history lane here. I have three clips for you tonight here, too, so one of them's pretty long. I'll have to play it after the hour here, so. But I should have some time for that, I hope. Anyway, in the year 2000, the New York Times was selling you a product. And, of course, their headlines read, "The 2000 Campaign, Public Opinion, Polls Show Bush Ahead of Gore." And as the controversy in Florida at that time heated up, and the recounts in the different counties out down there, and also throughout the United States, it brought it to many other of these swing states. In New Mexico, amid the results of the Roosevelt County, gave Al Gore a 368-vote lead, but as Gore had only won the state with 483 votes. And the reason I'm mentioning this here is because they want to do away with this electoral vote and go with a popular vote. So they'll be selling you a massive amount of product this year. So, and of course, this came to all this vote fraud, chads on these voting cards had to be recounted, and more court decisions, and of course the drama of it all. You know, a lot of people think Gore probably should have won that, but anyway, the fix was in, basically, because I forget the actual title of the video, but I saw it many, many years ago. God, it's been almost, well, it's been 19 years ago, where Bush is headed back on the plane, headed back to D.C., District of Criminals, and someone had asked him something about the Florida vote, and he says, "My brother has made sure that I have got it." So, and that would be Jeb. So, this article goes on here. It says, as Florida's legislature was planning to hold a special session to appoint electors, Bush's brother, governor of Florida, was facing a dilemma over whether or not to be involved in the case to allow the bill to pass automatically by not signing it, as well as if it was left on his desk for 7 days, you know, it automatically became law. Anyway, the legislators would choose between a Republican majority electorate and give the state's electoral votes to Bush, which would bring up the talk of the brothers working together. So from researching this in the news archives, if he had decided to sign it, there's nothing wrong with that. The House Majority Leader, this Mike Fiasano, said he's doing it not as a brother of George W. Bush, but as a governor of the state of Florida, and representing the millions of people who voted on November 7th. And if you recall at that time, all the vote fraud that was taking place, that firm out of Georgia that had been inserting names, felony names, into the voting records so that when, say, a man named Willie Brown or something like that was going to vote, it would automatically disqualify him because he had a felony record. Of course, it didn't differentiate between who the Willie Brown was, as well as all those voting ballots that were sent out for absentee ballots and whatever, and they were just named with the address. And this happened at the same type of, this is how the voting system works, that as the war later for the 2004 would break out, all those military soldiers now overseas and probably tired of this fake war that Bush had started, that they probably didn't want to be where they were at, but they had fixed that there because of labeling all these voting cards to the same address, but they didn't put the military base's name down, and it also says do not forward. And so naturally, all these thousands of active duty soldiers that were to receive their voting cards had them returned, and when they were returned, they all had the same address, so they were all disqualified, and that was courtesy of Karl Rove. But that's how things work. And you know, I have to laugh at this, and I'm not in a chat room here, I should probably get there, but I have to laugh at this because I always look at what they call this Western democracy because of the fact of, like, down in Venezuela and or over in Syria, where the people actually vote in a democratic society, to where a majority of Syrians and a majority of Venezuelans all voted in a democratic election, and the result of the candidate was not an internationally approved candidate, like Maduro down in Venezuela, and right now over in Ukraine right now, old Porky Pig and that other comedian guy are neck and neck. And so, of course, they want to, I guess there's going to be some kind of a runoff election on that. Of course, that's probably because the U.S. wants to make sure they can rig those votes to get Porky Pig back in there, Poroshenko, and keep that comedian out of office. To me, it doesn't really matter because the whole country's a joke now anyway. But anyway. And so from CBS News, it says, but Mr. Bush enjoyed a high approval rating of 90%, the highest of any president following the September 11th attacks in 2001. Mr. Bush edged out of his father for the highest rating. George H.W. Bush received an 88% approval rating in 1991 amid the success of the first Gulf War. Remember how these wars were sold to you. So here's Bush with a 90% rating. And of course, now if you do your own research like that and see what happened after the second war started and how Bush's approval rating started to go down, and that's because the body bag started to come home. So this published opinion, though, again, we're back between the private public, you know, opinion to that of the published opinion. It would see, and as just started, the attack of the false flag of 9/11. Everyone knows it was a false flag, and if you don't, then I'm sure you've got issues. But anyway, just like in World War II, where Winston Churchill had walked around along the bombed-out rubble there in London, and of course he had his cute little walking stick and the cigar in his mouth, and he would make some great speech. I mean, His poll was just, I mean, it was very, very high. Except many don't realize that of May of 1940, that Germany had wanted to sign a peace deal with him. And Churchill didn't want it because at the time, England was being threatened by Germany as a powerhouse for industry or its industrial. And this is a well-known fact, and you can go back through Winston Churchill's quotes about how they were going to smash Germany. So, Churchill's War. And as a matter of fact, there's a book out about that by David Irving, which is a damn good read. And, of course, the common lay historians don't like it because it doesn't fit the narrative. So, with that, though, I am going to have Kenneth play clip number 3, and it's just a short clip here, and I want you to, this is back when George Bush was visiting Ground Zero right after 9/11. So Kenneth, please.
President Obama visited Ground Zero Thursday to lay a wreath and visit with victims of the 9/11 attack. It was a quiet bookend to the visit 10 years ago by his predecessor, George W. Bush, who promised to bring those who planned the attack on the World Trade Center to justice.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Okay, now, the reason I had you or listen to that there is because this is no different than Donald Trump right now. Less than a week ago, I was listening to Donald Trump talking about removing that evil Maduro down there in Venezuela and basically chanting the fact of how U.S. corporations like John Bolton basically would run that country, and his base behind him was chanting USA, USA. And this is the mindset that people have, regardless of realizing that, you know, hey, the United States is doing this all illegally. And of course, we've now had the threats from the United States to telling Russia to get out. And then, of course, Russia countering that by, well, we've seen how you're getting out is over in Syria. And of course, now they've also admitted that they're going to stay in Iraq. Why not? They've got a $1 billion embassy there. So there, Bush is screaming, we were attacked. And then yet, like Wesley Clark, about the same thing, except one was good. But anyway, General Wesley Clark had noted there that these Middle East wars were planned well in advance, as the botched 9/11 investigation of the murder of 3,000 Americans that was not really investigated. That event, as well as those same firefighters that Bush had his arm around, the one there at the time, giving him a repeated hug, you know, like, hey, we got your back, like that. And all those firefighters that had started to die immediately thereafter from all of this asbestos and stuff and whatever else that was in the fallout of those buildings that had collapsed. And then, of course, we have on top of that Bill O'Reilly, who says, if you can't support our troops, then shut up. And, of course, now we look at the staggering amount of military losses, not just from the war. Remember, they only claimed about 5,000 in Bush's war. A little over 5,000, but that was just the tip of the iceberg, because they only count troops lost by what they call KIA, killed in action. Those who were injured and died in flight to Germany's hospital, I mean, they didn't count those, and the numbers mounted. And it's the same with the amount of deaths up in Afghanistan and stuff. And this is all blamed on a bunch of men in caves, and here we are, 2019, almost 18 or 19 years later. And with all the superior U.S. technology, which can't fly an F-35 jet, I guess, but they cannot locate men in caves over there in Afghanistan. But, yeah, I mean, wars are not meant to be won. And that's why the United States is not leaving. Of course, we know the other reason is because of Israel. But anyway. So, the issue here is like polls and stuff. This is how you beat people up or whip them up into this patriotic frenzy. USA, USA. And I have nothing against this country here. This is a beautiful country. It's the people at times you got to worry about because of their morality and stuff. The public opinion had changed. So Bush, like Churchill, a Churchill himself, a known drunk, were not just drunk with power behind the steering wheel of a car, but they were the ones leading the nation down a twisted, dark road. And we see where that road is today. So the media had to rebuild that published opinion of the way the country was headed, because at the end of Bush's presidency, his popularity was only 66%. And Americans now disapproved of Bush. And, of course, the United States was now $14 trillion in debt. Today, $22 trillion in debt. And, of course, Trump is out there on Twitter constantly telling us over and over that he inherited this. And it's the same line they all use. I inherited this from the Clinton administration. I mean, it's just passing the buck. So, and then, of course, came Obama with his hope in change. He raised $745 million for his campaign, almost $1 billion to get him elected. And so for 8 years, you see what you got out of that. But anyway, they, like every other politician, keeps talking about limiting campaign spending. And the prospect here, though, is what I'm getting at, because I got a break coming up, but is the amount of money did nothing itself to elect, other than these politicians that are in these published opinions of who would be great to run the country. And, of course, we see that now, and they wanted Hillary and stuff like that. But the foregoing fact here is all that money spent, would you think of what that would have done to help feed the homeless, house or educate or provide medical care for the regular, simple, ordinary American? And, of course, you know Obamacare has failed. And we're at the same process now, to where now they want to repeal Obamacare. I mean, the system's broken, and they just find out more and more ways to delay the inevitable. So we'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443. So stay tuned, okay?
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You want to know, turn to talk radio. Anytime at all, anywhere you go, it's on talk radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm having a little technical issue here. I was trying to get a screen from Ken there because I show I got something in my chat thing here, but I don't know where it's at, so new format. But anyway, you may have to send me something on Skype if whatever pops up. But anyway, so I was saying there, welcome back. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers here. It's currently 6:23, the bottom of the hour. So anyway, all this money that goes to elect all these politicians, the amount of money, and it does nothing to create jobs, build a 1 mile of road, promote energy innovation or nothing. It's just simply an entitlement program for the politicians that long ago outlived its questionable usefulness. And of course, they at the time were saying, well, they should end that program. And, of course, now we see that the Democrats are recently talking about ending all this funding from lobbyists, and they want to depend on the people. And I think this is, for in my case, the way I think, is they want to suck more and more out of the people, just as much as they want to tax you more and everything else for a product that that doesn't work. So now with 2019, excuse me, clear my voice. Now with 2019 and the elections coming to in the 2020 year, the country is already $22 trillion in debt. And as mentioned, between student loans, jobs, homelessness, starvation, and the veterans and of those wars, of course, now dying en masse, the United States continues to bankrupt itself. And this is where a lot of people should get concerned here. Twitter has an ad and or ad after ad for all these brand new cars. Trump speaks of bringing jobs here, usually citing automobile makers. And, of course, we're back to the same thing here, that no one can afford them. As Mike Rivera was given a list here not too long ago of what it takes for an average household now, most new cars are $500 a month. And, of course, for a new car, you have to have a full coverage insurance. So, and, of course, they've destroyed the credit for most people there. You imagine what the credit would be to have that. So we'd be paying, $600, $700 a month for credit just outgoing just for a vehicle on top of your rent, mortgage, or whatever like that. But there's a lesson to learn here. And, of course, like with Churchill's May 1940s peace deal, which could have been accepted, is the fact that millions of people would not have died. And this includes any alleged death from Germany's so-called death camps that were alleged to have happened between 1940 and 1945. So just think, if Churchill would have done that, the 60-some-odd million listed, who were mostly civilians, I should add, they wouldn't have died. But see, this is what this power does. And, of course, the more you get into Winston Churchill and the group behind him, the front group, they call it, where he was getting his money, and, of course, the objective, again, was to destroy Germany. And we see that through the different media papers to where the fact is of where the Zionist at that time came out with Judea boycotts Germany. Or actually, it says calling on all Jews to boycott Germany. And this was because Germany was a powerhouse. Anyway, I'm just checking through a few things here. So anyway, but to do that, and most people don't realize this, but Churchill sold out the British Empire to the United States at that time. And like I say, when you read through some of David Irving's books, and that's why they are so mad about him as a revisionist, is because he has all the documented proof, either through communications between the different world powers. That's all been translated. I think he knows 5 or 6 languages. And he sat there and he's gone or thumbed through all these archives. And I remember him saying a story once about how he had all his stuff on a thumb like those index cards. And, of course, his house was firebombed and stuff. But he had every single quote from every single politician in these different colored index cards. And so, and they were itemized, too, that if one guy said something, he had it to where a reply was made, and it was all cataloged to which party had said something in reply to what the other politician said. Of course, we know that the enemy is who destroyed that by firebombing his house, just as much as when they canceled his visas and passports and stuff traveling. But anyway, and he's not the only one. A lot of these historians are being shot down to the point where they can't even speak at colleges and whichever. So anyway, but as Britain was strip mined, they had to give up a lot of stuff, a lot of their stocks, bonds, the gold they held in Africa. I forget how many tons it was taken. And of course, that was all carted back over here to America. And again, we're still back to this, the fact here of those that are still drunk with power who continue their illegal wars and using as collateral to the spending of your children or grandchildren their lives, as well as the victims of those that get killed. And of course, all these wars that they call for protection of our freedoms and such, they do nothing for the citizens, nothing, of which American has benefited from any of these wars. So, with that, I'll be coming back, and I'll have a long video here to play for you, so hold off on any calls or anything like that, and it should take me up to the 50-minute mark almost. So, but anyway, stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
If you want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in beautiful western Montana. And I want to continue here before I get in this video here. You know, every time you hear these wars and stuff, it just adds more debt. And, of course, the only ones that come out smelling like a rose are these great big places like Raytheon, who advertise on Twitter about some great missile system. I mean, it's like, yeah, we kill better, you know. But these same corporations there that are boosted, as John Bolton said about the oil down in Venezuela and the U.S. corporations to suck that place dry like a vampire. They're the ones that are laying off thousands every month, and the 5,600 store closures and stuff. They do nothing for the people, as well as the taxing of the social net programs that they want to cut all the time, in which they call entitlements, as they call it. So meanwhile, the corporations, as they're laying off these thousands, they give their CEO millions of dollars in bonus pay. Yet we are told this by the published opinion: it's great for our country, our freedoms. It's like hearing Bush say, we must fight them over there so as not to fight them over here, so that we proudly as an American can enjoy the mass immigration of those same immigrants now entering this country, where we have a Pakistani checking our passports to travel, another Arab Muslim driving us in a taxi. And, of course, we are seeing our country being basically destroyed from within. And, of course, this is all part of this agenda, this white genocide stuff to dehumanize us, take our culture, our history, all that. So, anyway, so we're back to this published opinion versus public opinion. So it makes you wonder what's going on here. So before I go into that, I want to see how show you how they sell things like that, especially like in Venezuela and in Cuba and stuff. So with that, I'm going to have Kenneth play a long video clip here, and I'll get into it. I may have to cut it short here toward the end here, but you'll see where I'm going with it, okay? So go ahead, Kenneth.
Troy, 12th century B.C. The Greeks' decade-long siege of Troy is drawing to a close. The cunning Odysseus has hit upon a plan to subvert the Trojans' defenses. The Greeks build a giant wooden horse and then pretend to sail away, leaving the horse at the gates of Troy as an apparent offering to the goddess Athena. The Trojans, believing the gift will make their city impregnable, take it within the city gates. But it is a trick. Odysseus and his men are hidden inside the hollow horse, and they emerge during the night to open the gates and let in the Greek army, who have returned to take the city. The Trojans don't get a chance to learn from their mistake. The Greeks sack the city and massacre its inhabitants. The Trojan horse was the earliest recorded military psyop. The lesson of the story, recorded in the council to beware Greeks bearing gifts, is that we should not let down our defenses when an erstwhile enemy offers us aid. Today, that counsel is as useful as ever, but today's tricksters have donned the mantle of philanthropy, and their Trojan horses are not wooden statues, but non-governmental organizations offering aid to foreign nations. The bitter truth is that in a surprising number of cases, NGOs are the deep state's Trojan horses. This is the Corbett Report. In 2015, Kyrgyzstan made what might seem at first glance to be a surprising move. It canceled a cooperation treaty with the U.S. that had been in place since 1993. The treaty granted tax breaks and customs privileges to organizations like the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and gave their workers diplomatic immunity in the country. All of that came to an end after the U.S. granted a human rights award to Azimyan Askarov, an activist swept up and thrown in jail for creating a threat to civil peace and stability in society after the Uzbek riots in South Kyrgyzstan in 2010. Reaction from the usual Western outlets was swift and predictable. Kyrgyzstan has lost its mind. Or, to be more precise, it's all Putin's fault. Somehow. But don't worry. The U.S. will continue aiding Kyrgyzstan anyway, whether they like it or not, because that's just how they roll. Go Team America! But Kyrgyzstan is not the only country to crack down on aid from foreign NGOs. In the last few years, a series of countries, including Russia, China, and India, have passed laws placing stricter controls on the operations of these organizations within their borders.
Russia is throwing the smackdown on poor little old NGOs, these charitable organizations that were set up. The reasoning behind them, that they might be trying to take down the Kremlin. The Kremlin is moving to ban the U.S.-backed MacArthur Foundation, George Soros' Open Society Institute, and 10 other foreign groups, calling them unwelcome organizations by law. They're also mulling over something called a patriotic stop list. Anyone caught collaborating with these groups, they're facing 6 years in prison.
China has passed a country's first law regulating overseas NGOs or non-governmental organizations.
The Chinese government always welcomes foreign NGOs to come to China to expand cultural and charity activities, and their achievements are highly spoken of by the Chinese authorities. But there are a few illegal exceptions in which NGOs came to China to harm its national security.
The law covers activities of NGOs founded outside the Chinese mainland. They must register with public security authorities and declare where their funding is coming from.
India has placed Ford Foundation on a watch list and ordered all funds from the US-based non-profit organization to be routed to recipients only after the Home Ministry's approval. Citing national security concerns, the Home Ministry has asked the Reserve Bank of India to ensure funds given by Ford Foundation to Indian recipients be brought to its notice and dispersed only after its clearance. The ministry said in its order that it wanted to ensure funds coming from Ford Foundation were utilized for bona fide welfare activities without compromising on concerns of national interest and security.
An Egyptian court has convicted 43 Egyptian and 16 American NGO workers for working illegally in Egypt while encouraging unrest. The defendants, who were mostly absent from court, were sentenced to up to 5 years in jail. The verdict calls for the closing of U.S. nonprofit groups such as the International Republican Institute and the National Democratic Institute and Freedom House, which back in 2012, Egypt accused of receiving illegal funding and operating without licenses.
So what on earth is going on? Why are all of these countries kicking out all of these U.S.-based non-governmental and quasi-governmental entities? Why would they be opposed to charity and aid? The answer is not difficult to understand. These organizations are Trojan horses, designed to appear as gifts, but containing secret trap doors through which hidden forces can enter the country and covertly undermine the governments in question. This explanation only sounds outlandish to those who look no further than the organization's names and have no idea of their history of operations. Take USAID, for example. Created in 1961 by executive order, it's a U.S. government agency that seeks to end extreme poverty and to promote resilient democratic societies while advancing our security and prosperity. So why did President Morales kick them out of Bolivia in 2013? Because he's crazy and irrational? Or because USAID ran a program through its remarkably frankly named Office of Transition Initiatives that provided $10.5 million of funding for strengthening democratic institutions throughout the country, including in opposition stronghold areas? Was it paranoia on Morales' part? Or merely the recognition that mealy-mouthed rhetoric about strengthening democratic institutions is a thinly veiled euphemism for overthrowing the government? Exactly as leaked diplomatic documents proved was the case for USAID's identically named program in Venezuela.
USAID was originally an agency created to provide humanitarian aid and disaster relief to countries in need. And throughout the 1980s and the 1990s and more into the 21st century, it's evolved into a political arm and a funding branch of the U.S. government for what they call promoting democracy. And it's actually now a part of U.S. counterinsurgency campaigns that involve the Pentagon, the State Department in terms of diplomacy and obviously war activities. And USAID is the third agency involved in counterinsurgency. And their goal precisely is to provide what they called aid for promoting democracy or stabilizing or helping a country through some kind of political transition or economic transition. In the case of Venezuela, Venezuela is a country that is oil wealthy, so it's never qualified for any kind of direct USAID help. Therefore, USAID has never had an office here officially, and they didn't actually come to the country and set up an office until 2002, right before the coup d'etat against President Chavez. And the documents, internal documents obtained under Freedom of Information Act, reveal that the sole intention of setting up the office here in Venezuela was to aid opposition forces to eventually ouster Chavez from power.
Should governments trust USAID after it was revealed that the agency secretly created its own social media network in Cuba for the express purpose of undermining the Castro government? Or when it was revealed that USAID had sent a team of agents to Cuba under the guise of health and civic programs to incite rebellion amongst youth, including creating a phony HIV prevention workshop that the agency itself described as the perfect excuse to identify potential social change actors? Or when it was revealed that the agency had attempted, and miserably failed, to infiltrate Cuba's hip-hop scene to break the information blockade and spark a youth movement of social change in the country?
A U.S. agency infiltrated the Cuban hip-hop world in an attempt to launch a youth movement against the government there. The secret operation tried to use Cuban rappers to build a network of young people seeking social change. But the Cuban regime caught on and the operation failed. In the process, the U.S. Agency for International Development unintentionally compromised a vibrant music culture that produced hard-hitting grassroots criticism of the country. Several artists at the agency tried to promote ended up leaving Cuba or stopped performing after pressure from the government.
In fact, USAID's black ops programs for undermining foreign governments go all the way back to the founding of the agency itself. Some of the lowlights include USAID's Office of Public Safety and its part in running a CIA front program for training foreign police in torture and terror tactics in Latin America, co-funding, with the CIA, the opium-smuggling Sheng Quang Air Transport, a private airline for narcotics trafficker and CIA point man in Laos, General Vang Pao, and co-funding opposition groups in Ukraine prior to the 2014 coup, with Glenn Greenwald backer Pierre Omidyar and, of course, George Soros.
George Soros, pleasure to have you on.
Same here.
First on Ukraine, one of the things that many people recognized about you was that you, during the revolutions of 1989, funded a lot of dissident activity, civil society groups in Eastern Europe, in Poland, the Czech Republic. Are you doing similar things in Ukraine?
Well, I set up a foundation in Ukraine before Ukraine became independent of Russia. And the foundation has been functioning ever since. And it played an important part in events now.
But this NGO Trojan horse problem is by no means confined to USAID and its associated organizations. Take the National Endowment for Democracy as another example. The official story is that the NED was created in 1983 by an act of Congress in order to encourage the establishment and growth of democratic development in target countries around the world in line with U.S. foreign policy goals. The actual story is that the NED was created expressly as a front for funding CIA activities inside target countries, a fact that Alan Weinstein, one of the members of the study group that led to the NED's founding, openly bragged about in the Washington Post. A lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA, he was quoted as saying. Even more blatant is an admission by then-director of Central Intelligence William Casey, who wrote a memo to the White House advocating for the creation of NED, but cautioning that we here at the CIA should not get out front in the development of such an organization, nor do we wish to appear to be a sponsor or advocate. The NED's participation in covert destabilization campaigns rivals that of USAID, and, like USAID, involves too many operations to detail them all here. Lowlights include bankrolling the Project Democracy program that became the core of Oliver North's secret government during the Iran-Contra years, manipulating the elections in Nicaragua in 1990 to oust Ortega and the Sandinistas, overthrowing the government of Bulgaria in 1990 and Albania in 1991, and backing every major color revolution of the modern period, from the Rose Revolution in Georgia to the Tulip Revolution in Kyrgyzstan and Orange Revolution in Ukraine a decade ago, to the recent, unsuccessful Electric Yerevan in Armenia, and many others in between.
What about Ukraine? I understand there are a few organizations that have been involved in Ukraine trying to disturb that government. Of course, we have visited on this subject quite a bit, but I didn't realize how much the NED is involved over there.
And this is a big issue because I think the argument could definitely be made that NATO should have ended after the Cold War, but definitely the National Endowment for Democracy should have been ended after the Cold War. Instead, they say, like with every government program, now's the time we need more. But in Ukraine, just this past year, this is an interesting article written by the president of the National Endowment for Democracy. He's president for life, Carl Gershman. I know this might shock you, but he's actually a Trotskyite. He was a founder and member of a communist breakaway party, Trotskyite Social Democrats USA. He wrote an editorial in the Washington Post September of 13, just before the events happened in Ukraine. And he wrote, as the president of the National Democracy, he said, Ukraine is the biggest prize.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that Ukraine's choice to join Europe will accelerate the demise of the ideology of Russian imperialism that Putin represents, and Putin may find himself on the losing end, not just in the near abroad, but within Russia itself. So his real goal is regime change. He spelled it out just before all of these events took place.
Now,
these types of Trojan horse operations have been used hundreds of times in the past, and there is no sign that the deep state is ready to abandon the trick now. Quite the opposite. It worked during the Arab Spring, when even the New York Times blithely admitted that the leaders of the protests had received training and financing from groups like the International Republican Institute, the National Democratic Institute, and Freedom House. And the State Department blithely admitted that they spent $50 million helping activists in the region network, communicate, and organize with each other through Trojan Horse NGOs like Movements.org. The deception also worked in Syria, where leaked documents proved the U.S. had been providing millions of dollars of support to opposition groups in the country.
What we see here is these activations like George Soros. Remember that petition that had 250,000 signatures? This is where we're back to published opinions versus these private opinions. Anyway, we'll be right back. The phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
It's 6:54 here in Montana, anyway. You're well listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here on RBN. Anyway, all this stuff that was just done by James Corbett there, the Corbett Report, these are things that are being done, as they call it, to enhance America's national security interests. And for those not following the latest evidence of the tyrannical noose that's tightening around not only our necks, but those of others, that you should know that something has gone terribly wrong here in America. And I hear that even among our friends that I talk to, as well as even in ham radio, that are our former military service members, and those I've talked to here personally here as called in there as veterans, that that's not the country they fought for. So, and a lot of this has been known here since the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden and his revelations came out about 6 years ago. And we've learned that U.S. citizens as well as foreign countries are at the, we're all basically the most spied on people in human history. That has nothing to do with what Germany was doing during World War II. But the recent massive WikiLeaks release at that time there, this Vault 7, I mean, time flies. It amounts to almost 9,000 pages of these documents from the CIA that were collected from 2013 to 2016. That discloses highly classified hacking secrets that they were using. You can add that to all the fusion centers and related data sharing, not only between the governments, but those in social media. And this doesn't even exclude those in the private sector that are also sharing all of our personal data, the facial recognition, as well as what we purchase. Yet it's automatically assumed that we, not the government, are the criminals. Yes, Justin. Anyway, but in lieu of that, I have one more small clip here for you for the top of the hour here. It's going to be clip number two, and this is my dear cousin Obama. So you want to play that one there, Kenneth?
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.
So when you look at that, I mean, seriously, I look at Tom Fitton there at Judicial Watch, who's got so many lawsuits in against the government through these Freedom of Information Acts, trying to weasel out of the government what they're actually doing. And of course, he's always being fraught with constant block after block. And this, it's not only with Hillary Clinton, but with other issues. But this is where we're at today, and it's like a runaway country here. So. This, of course, is on the bombshell that, and there may be some prosecutions now coming out of this, that where President Obama had illegally wiretapped and surveilled all of President Trump's communications, both domestic and overseas, and this is, of course, through the Mueller and his Noburger investigations there. And this is all pre-administration. So, I mean, and then imagine what Robert Mueller's investigation did, how many millions of dollars was wasted there. We're learning that this Orwellian type of nightmare is some type of myopic control over all of us as a national population. It's far worse than imagined. And I'm going to get back into this after my dog just knocked me down. So anyway, stay tuned. The phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. And I'm going to clue you in on some other stuff here. So we'll be right back. Talk radio. Talk radio. The truth is on Talk Radio. Turn it on, turn it up loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up loud as it'll go.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.